This is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Tom Pelissero.
I should have known that by saying, when's the last time we talked about Marcus Mariota, that something bad would happen?
Oh, man.
Last night.
Poor guy.
Does that qualify as irony? Hey, when do you ever hear Marcus Mariota's name? Well, here it is.
Like a fall down, rolling over interception.
That was unique. I'll say that. I said after the game, you know, I was trying to make something happen in my career. That's when I've gotten in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So what do the Falcons do here? It's going to be fascinating to see how Arthur Smith approaches this. He's been steadfast that Marcus Mariota is the guy. He also was on staff in Tennessee when they benched Marcus Mariota at, I want to say, right about this time of season, might have been a little bit earlier, and went to Ryan Tannehill several years ago. You had Desmond Ridder on the bench. He was regarded by a lot of people in the pre-draft process as being the most ready in terms of the makeup and the character and the leadership and all those types of things. The question was just, is he accurate enough? Can he throw the ball accurately enough at the NFL level? You'd think the Falcons have a pretty good feel on that, for better or worse, with Desmond Ridder. And so we'll see how they approach things. Somebody pointed out to me, Arthur Blank was at the game last night, which is normal. He is at basically every Falcons game. Arthur Blank also was in South Bend for the game where Desmond Ridder beat Notre Dame last year. That was part of their pre-draft evaluation. The owner actually went and watched him. So the fact that they drafted that guy, albeit later than a lot of people thought Desmond Ridder was going to go, sliding into the third round, don't overlook that, because you know the owner was on board with that selection here. Mm. And some of the Falcons, who, remember, it's only a half game out, could be back tied for first place in the NFC South if the Bucs lose to the Seahawks on Sunday. We'll see how they decide to proceed going forward. We got some other injury updates, by the way. Some of these we mentioned in the last hour. T.J. Watt says he will play Sunday against the Saints, does not anticipate being on a snap count. A huge lift for the Steelers 9 weeks, I believe, after he got hurt. It was a week one injury. Initial walking off the field, I tore my pec. Did injure his pec, not a full tear. Come back, and amazingly back here at midseason. Shaquille Leonard out again against the Raiders. So Jeff Saturday, much like Frank Reich before him, we'll have to go on the road and try to get a win in Las Vegas without his best player on defense. Josh Allen, this could be all part of the ruse. I give Sean McDermott credit. If this is just part of the bit, Josh Allen was not on the practice field at the start of practice when reporters were out there. But then the way they set it up in Buffalo, a lot of times you get to walk through the field house to the post-practice presser. Josh Allen jogging off the field with the jersey on. They have less than 2 hours to file a final injury report. So as we go hour by hour with Sean McDermott, the hours are wearing thin, and we shall soon know.
Handicap it. Is it out, doubtful, questionable?
The first game, if a player misses it, a lot of times it's questionable. They could go doubtful. I don't think they'll go out. It would surprise me. But you don't know. There's only three options, and I just covered all my bases there.
So like maybe 50-30-20 or 50-40-10?
Like I said, a lot of times.
60-40-0?
I'd say 50-50 that he's questionable or not.
Okay.
And everything else is somewhere in those other categories. But again, when a player misses the first game, a lot of times that's when you get the questionable designation. And then you can call it 50-50. That's what the league wants to see, is that you got some guys who are questionable or in, some are out. We'll see how they decide to handle it. Also, Kyler Murray, game time decision for the Cardinals against the Rams. He's got that hamstring injury that he talked about on Hard Knocks. Did not look particularly comfortable. Cliff Kingsbury says they'll take it up to kickoff. And then Jahan Dotson, the Commanders rookie receiver, who we have not seen in a while here, as the Commanders have been, they've had some good moments on offense with Taylor Heinicke. Terry McLaurin has finally gotten himself going here, but Dotson was pretty good.
Yeah, he balled
when he was on the field. A good sign for him. We'll see. I'm, again, guessing he's listed as questionable. We'll see how they decide to handle it, but full participation today. That is a very good sign. We're joined right now on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line by a guy I was awfully fond of during the course of his NFL career. Played a long time in Detroit and Seattle. He won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. Pleased to be joined right now by old friend Cliff Averill. Cliff, first off, where are you at these days, and what are you up to?
I am still here in Seattle, man. I got a real estate company that I've been kind of building out since I was playing, actually. And also, you know, do a lot of stuff with the Seahawks as well, from a mentoring for from a mentoring side of things and just being involved in the community.
Whatever you're doing mentoring-wise over there for the Seahawks, if you're doing anything in the building, it seems to be working. That I know a lot of people were surprised about how the Seahawks are playing. I came away from camp going, you know, they're young, but this kind of feels like that, you know, early 2010s team where it was, you know, young guys, the competitiveness and everything. But, I mean, I think they've exceeded basically anybody's reasonable expectations here.
Oh, no doubt. You know, it's funny because this summer I went to one of the OTAs, and Coach Carroll had me break the guys down at the end of practice or whatever, and that's the first thing I said was like, hey, guys, not one person in this country, in this league right now, believes you guys are going to have success. But if everyone in this locker room believes it, hey, the sky's the limit. And I can't say they took it to heart or anything like that, because when I was playing, I wouldn't have been listening. But overall, though, like, they believe in each other. They believe in themselves. And that resonates with me when I was with the Seahawks. Like, that was what made us so great, was we believed in one another. We understood we needed one another to have success. And to see these guys do what they've been doing, man, it's pretty impressive.
Even setting aside, you know, what you lose in terms of on the field with Russell Wilson or a Bobby Wagner, there's also something to the idea, in my mind, and just talking to people, you've been in locker rooms a lot more than I have in a different role, but it does seem like there's something to be said for the leadership void. And when you've got players like that who have been there forever, young guys may not ascend into those roles. They may not be able to take those leadership spots. How much of that dynamic is real in terms of whether it's a DK Metcalf or somebody else who suddenly is thrust into that role and seems to be doing it well?
Oh, well, I feel like even you bring up DK, Tyler Lockett's no spring chicken. Right. He's playing like it, right? And Tyler learned from Doug Baldwin, you know? So, I think it kind of just comes from the older players that have been around, some of the veteran guys. You know, a lot of us still come around, whether it's myself, KJ Wright, Sherm, all of us, you know, Cam Chancellor, all of us still come around and just try to drop gems from time to time on the guys. And what's so funny, because we'll go to dinner with some of the guys as well, and you start talking to these guys, and they're like, man, when I was in high school, you guys were amazing. I'm like, high school? I'm not even old. Like, what the heck are you talking about? You know? So they, when you speak, they definitely listen. And I think all that plays a role in just the mentality of what it looks like to have success. But those guys are stepping up. They have the right leaders in place. Whether you talk about DK, Tyler, heck, Gino, you know, being a 10-year vet. You know, once you start playing well, you know, it's easy to fall in line and follow the guys that are having success.
It is funny that you talk about telling the players nobody in this country believes in you. That was a big part of your program when you guys, you know, made your Super Bowl run. I mean, I remember Doug Baldwin, you talk about him. Doug murdered me worse than anybody ever about something I wrote, and you might even remember this. I wrote something about the Seahawks wide receivers, and he ended up going on this rant. I wasn't even at the game. All of a sudden, I start seeing the quotes responding to me. And, you know, to Doug's credit, he's a great guy. He is a salty dude, but he's a great guy. We became friends, you know, over the years there. But, man, it was very much like us against the world. Doug came off, I want to say, after the SEC championship game and screamed at the media, was yelling at us in that little part where before we can get onto the field or into the locker room, he's yelling at us. Like, that was what it was all about. And I heard that back in the spring, that like this Seahawks team kind of has that same vibe, that dog eat dog to them.
You know, it's funny because, you know, if you look at their rookie class right now, all those guys playing a huge role in the success, and they all have a chip on their shoulders. If you look at, you know, when we were having our success, Doug Baldwin being undrafted, Richard Sherman being a fifth round draft pick, Cam, you know, the list is long. Myself, you know, going from being franchised to the team not wanting you, Michael Bent, like, everybody had a chip on their shoulder, and that's what allowed us to have so much success. And I truly believe these guys, Gino, for example, has a chip on his shoulder to show that he deserves to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but not only starting, like, one of the top quarterbacks this season so far, right? So, like, these guys are playing with that chip. And then you got to give hats off to Coach Carroll and John Snyder and them just being able to steer this chip and make sure, you know, these guys kind of have that mindset as well.
Well, and Pete and John had the vision here. They obviously hit in the draft. You know, Schneider and his staff did, and that's a big part of this. But they also, you know, did the difficult thing here, which was Russell Wilson wanted to move on to someplace else. They were willing. They got a, you know, very large package of picks and players to move on from him. And then rather than going out and trading for Baker Mayfield or doing something else drastic to the position, they got Drew Lock in the trade. They said, we're going to let him and Geno just kind of duke it out here. When you now look at Russ, and again, it's a new place, it's a new system, but you were around him for a long time. What do you think is going on with him right now?
You know, it's his first time in his 11-year career where things aren't going as well. You know, whether it's struggle for him personally or as a team, and I think it's just a new place for him, right? And now all the talks of you know, the positivity and now you really have to put that into play, right? As things get harder and things aren't going your way, you have to hype yourself up and make sure that you're not the reason why or how to get out of that situation. So right now I think Russ is I truly believe genuinely like that's who he is as far as for that mindset, and that's what's going to get him through this patch of bad weather, as you would call it. I do think, you know, he will continue to play at a high level. I do think it's being in a new environment, a new situation, new coaches. The coaches have to learn what makes him great. You know, sitting in the pocket all day long is definitely not his play, right? So just both sides kind of figuring out each other, and I think that's when they'll start to have success. But overall, though, I think Russ will definitely get through this and get back to being his Hall of Fame quarterback that we know him as.
You know, Sherman Marchand had a conversation that kind of went viral a month or so ago about having to go through Russ's manager. Do you have Russ's phone number, Cliff?
You know what? I was watching that. Yes, one, to answer your question, yes, I do. And I actually text with him quite often. And I think those guys, part of it was joking. I don't think there's ever been a time where Marshawn really couldn't get in contact with Russ. Like, that was a quarterback. Come on, man. You know, but, you know, they all kind of, you know, they all have their situations and issues with Russ. But overall, though, Russ has been great to me. I still, like I said, I communicate with him pretty often. You know, I'll shoot him text and like, hey, man, I know it's been rough, but hey, stay in there, or, you know, whatever it may be. So overall, though, I think Russ is going to be all right.
Cliff, you were a good player for a long time in the NFL. You had a lot of sacks. You played in Detroit, where, you know, everything's a battle. You went to Seattle, obviously won a ton of games there. When you watch the NFL now, you haven't been out that long. You've been out like 6 years or so from the league. But when you look at the, you know, the stats being down, the points are down, the scoring's down, offenses seem to be struggling. Is this offenses not being at the same level they were before, or have defenses caught up?
Well, you know, me being a defensive player, I would like to say defenses have caught up, right? But I think it's a combination of different things. I mean, the game is different in general. The game is different from when I stepped into the NFL in 08 to 2013 to 2018 when I retired. And, you know, I think the practice style, although people, you know, and I'm all for safety. I'm all for, you know, player safety and wanting guys to make sure that they're fine when they leave the game. In the same breath, you know, football is one of the few sports that the only way you get better at it is by doing it. You know, basketball, you know, you got to dribble, you know, you can get your shots up by yourself. But football, if you're not leaning up against the person every single play like you're going to do, it's kind of hard to simulate that anywhere else but on the football field. So I think, you know, the practices, you know, the preseason plays a role too. Preseason is where I became a player. Right, that's where, because when the job's on the line, that's where you become a player, right? That's where you develop, because you're going to actually get game reps. And I think that's the only way you can become good at football. So I say all to say, all of those things I think play a role in why the numbers may be down on offense. You know, I think, you know, collectively the play has kind of, I don't want to say dropped off, because these guys are elite athletes, but the play is definitely not what we've seen in the past. And I do think as guys kind of catch their rhythm on the system and everything else, you know, the play will come back up. But I think all those things play a role in why things kind of, I guess, gotten a little stagnant a little bit.
So have you made your plans in Arizona to watch the Seahawks in the Super Bowl yet, or are you still giving that a little bit more time?
I'm gonna give them a little bit more time. Give them a little bit more time. But the last time we was in AZ wasn't a great outcome. So I hope they get there and I hope they're able to pull it off. But I'm gonna give them about 3 or 4 more weeks. Then we'll start making plans from there.
Well, dude, you faced Tom Brady, right, in a Super Bowl even when he was playing with the Patriots. This is a pretty big game over there in Munich this weekend.
Huge game, huge game. The old head and Tom Brady still chugging along. You know, every time I see him, I got to laugh because he came into the league before me. I played 10 years, and this man, I've been out 5 years, and he's still playing. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. But to see him continue to keep playing, playing at a high level, that last drive last week was amazing, impressive. I'm excited to see what the Seahawks can do about him. That young, hungry defense, I think, can make Tom uneasy back in the pocket, make him throw some balls their way.
Cliff, great catching up with you, man. Good luck with everything you got going in Seattle. Hope we can catch up again soon.
No, I appreciate you having me. Great catching up.
That is Cliff Averill, the former Seahawk, former Lions Super Bowl champion here on the Rich Eisen Show. We have had an absolutely packed Friday show here on the Rich Eisen Show. A lot of injury updates we're still going to get to. We got another guest coming up right after this, Titans cornerback Christian Fulton. Nice. They got the Broncos coming up this week, and Russell Wilson. Talk to him about all that coming up right after this on the Rich Eisen Show.
What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jaili, spelled Jaialai. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jaili is making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles per hour. The action's intense and the danger factor is high. 6-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlightWorld.com or download the free Highlight app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlightWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win 2 sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlightWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5, Friday at 7.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Tom Pelissero back on the Rich Eisen Show. So many updates to get to from around the NFL, including some injuries. But right now, join us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. Guy who's in his third year out of LSU. He's been killing it for the Titans. Cornerback Christian Fulton is with us. Christian, thanks for taking some time, man. Broncos up this week. How's the vibe around that place?
The vibes are good. Coming off a tough loss, that's always tough. But, guys, just trying to get as healthy, as they can, and, just ready to go, get this taste out of our mouth.
What positives, if any, did you take away from that game last week, going toe-to-toe with a really good team at a time that, quite frankly, you guys are dealing with a lot in terms of injuries and guys who are out?
Right. A positive, is that we see that, no matter who we got out there, we're always going to fight. And we're always going to give ourselves a chance, to win the game. I think that's the biggest thing we got out of that. We were missing a lot of starters. Some guys went down mid-game. So guys continue to fight. And we know that as long as we eliminate some of our mistakes, that we gave ourselves, we probably win that game. So that's the key takeaway from that game. And like you said, it's one of the top teams in the league. So that was a positive.
I'm always fascinated by how head coaches' personalities can rub off on their team. And when I watch you guys play at a time that, you're down your quarterback and you're one of your receivers and you're nicked up on defense, you got all these challenges, and somehow you guys still go play and turn it into a Mike Vrabel type of game. It's grimy. It's physical. It's not going to be, you know, a shootout type of game. How does Vrabel do that and kind of just instill that mentality in you guys that, hey, you know, no matter who we're going up against, we're going to find a way to play this brand of football?
Yeah, I mean, I think he just, you know, he kind of knows what kind of players he wants. You know, guys, you know, that are the same way, you know, personally, and guys who want to buy into our culture. You know, that's the culture around here. You know, we're going to be the more physical team. We're going to be tough. And we know that doesn't win games, but we know if we do that, we give ourselves a chance, especially with the league we're in today, you know, when everybody wants, you know, throw the ball around, you know, nobody wants to get hit, really. So we know if we hit other people and we are more physical, you know, we give ourselves a better chance. And we're used to that, you know. We bang it out against each other. So we kind of are ready for, you know, heading into the season.
So the injury report just came out. No Jeff Simmons, no Amani Hooker, no Bud Dupree, no Zach Cunningham. Give me the state of the defense at this point and how you guys are going to put this thing together to face the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of been banged up all year. You know, guys have been in and out for some of those guys that you just named. So we know guys will step up, you know, and accept the challenge, step and take advantage of their opportunity. So it's some, you know, it's tough not having those guys. Obviously, most of those guys are game changers, you know, for us. But I feel like, you know, as long as we're all on the same page, we communicate, we give ourselves a chance. You know, everybody's going to play full tilt for us. And like you said, the culture around here is to be physical and to know what to do. So that's the plan, and we know guys will step up and take on that role.
Well, you popped up on the injury report too. You did not participate yesterday. Are you good on that hamstring? We going to see you out there on Sunday?
Yeah. I'm going to be good. it was just a long game, a bit long game last week, you know. So, like I said, guys are just trying, you know, get their body right and ready to go for Sunday. But, I'm going to be good to go for Sunday.
I mean, you've had a heck of a year just looking at all the stats and the analytics. Your third year in the league, you're probably seeing these quarterbacks for a second or third time at this point. Like, what's allowed you, do you feel, if you have taken a jump, to take that jump?
Mm-hmm. Knowing what's coming to me, you know, I feel like I've put a lot of time in watching film, you know, and I feel like that's a big difference, you know. Once you get the experience out there, you know, you play it a year or two, you know, get that under your belt, it kind of slows down for you. And you just have to find those little things, like watching film, you know, that can slow down even more. So I feel like that's how I've taken the next step. Obviously taking more care of my body, you know, to make sure I am on the field. Last year, you know, I had I think I missed like four games. So I've been trying to take care of my body better, you know. That's how I've been able to, you know, take that next step, you know, and make those plays.
What kind of stuff do you do to take care of the body? Is it diet? Is it massages? Like, what is it you're doing differently?
Yeah. Just the diet, you know, that's a big thing. Eating better, getting more treatment outside the facility, because obviously, you know, you got to get treatment while you're here. You might as well. So just finding ways I could treat my body better, you know, in the off season. Those are the main things for me. And still, you know, just talking to the vets, you know, and finding things that they do to help them. So those, but the eating better and getting like treatment outside of the facility, those are two things I would say for sure.
What was the hardest thing to cut out of your diet?
Ah, man, some ribs, man. The ribs.
Ribs.
I love ribs, man. I try to leave the pork alone as much as I can. You know, just eat more fish, you know, things like that. That's kind of been the change for me.
You can find ribs easily in Nashville. I don't know how much good fish you got in Nashville, but ribs,
yeah.
That's the easy one.
Like almost every corner.
Exactly. It's barbecue. Yeah, exactly. Christian Fulton, Titans cornerback, is our guest. So you're watching the Broncos on tape throughout the course of this week. Obviously, they got Jerry Jeudy, they got Cortland Sutton, and they got a quarterback in Russell Wilson, who we've talked about a lot on TV for a lot of different reasons through the course of the season. What do you see when you watch Russ and when you watch that offense operate right now?
Looks like they're, you know, getting things together. You know, obviously, you know, we know they had a slow start, you know, at the beginning of the year. But I feel like, you know, when they got to London, you know, he kind of found his receivers. You know, some guys got open even more. Like you said, they have talented receivers, so we know those guys can make any plays. And we know the history of Russ. Russ can make any throw. So that's the main thing that stands out. You know, guys are getting open, and he's making the throws that he usually makes. So we expect them, you know, to come in ready to swing, and we're expecting a fight because they're coming off a huge win in London, and then they had the bye week, so they're rested. So, you know, we expect their best shot. We expect him to get the ball in their hands quick and take shots with them, with his guys. You know, and then I know their running back got hurt, so we know they're going to try to get the ball to the receivers, you know, as much as they can.
I want to address a tweet. I think it was the last one you had. It was over the last weekend, and it's top five us for real. I'm taking a wild guess. This is about your Tigers, who came in number seven. They're at seven right now in the college football playoff rankings. How do you feel about that?
I feel great. You know, I feel like they finally found their kick, you know, on what they can do to win. You know, I feel like the defense is playing pretty good. The offense is playing a lot better, you know, from when they started the season. And, I mean, it's good to see, you know, special teams has been better these last few games. I feel like that kind of killed us, you know, in some of our losses. So, Coach Kelly, you know, he's doing a great job now, you know, and they're on their way, you know, as long as they went out, you know, they're on their way to some big things.
So last thing for you here, Christian, appreciate the time. Again, big game for you guys against the Broncos at a time that you're banged up. What in your mind is the biggest key to being able to get a win against Denver?
We just got to do what we can to affect Russ. You know, like I said, he's a guy that can make all the throws. He's smart. He knows what he's seeing most of the time. You know, he's going to run. You know, when he can, he's going to scramble and try to extend plays. So we just got to affect him as much as we can, you know, and I feel like if we affect him, you know, our D-line, you know, stop the run, we'll be able to, you know, slow them down as much as we should, we feel like we can.
And that's no ribs. So stay away from the barbecue for the next couple of days. I know it's tempting. I think you got this, Christian. We appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot for coming on. Best of luck.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all having me. Thank you.
That is Titans cornerback Christian Fulton. It is unbelievable when you just list off the injuries that the Titans have. I mean, it's almost all their best players. Christian Fulton's another one of them, but Jeff Simmons is a game record type. Zach Cunningham's kind of had this second life to his career since he got there. Imani Hooker, they just extended him. Now he's out as well there, but you saw it last week against the Chiefs. They find ways to dictate what the game is going to be. You're going to have to beat us playing Titans brand of football. Really, the only game where that didn't happen this year was the one against Buffalo, where the Bills turned it into a track meet, and that's a hard thing to do. It'll be interesting to see now. Denver coming off their bye, how much, if anything, is different? We'd guess Russell Wilson will be wearing a wristband again. Certainly sounds like Nathaniel Hackett is saying that. They're maybe gathering a little rhythm. They've got totally different running backs than they had at the start of the season here. We'll see if they use Chase Edmonds, who they just acquired in that trade. And obviously, who gets the opportunities without Bradley Chubb out there? You'd expect more Nick Benito would be part of the plan, assuming that he's healthy and good to go. Speaking of injuries, we talked earlier about the Josh Allen sighting. Not at the beginning of practice, but hour by hour at the end of practice, Josh Allen made an appearance. I believe we have video of Josh Allen. Here he is. I don't see any visible anything on the elbow. And there he goes.
It runs.
He's a runner. He's a track star.
There is some tape on the back, but it's not a brace. Okay, let's just keep running it here. Brockman, what do you see? Tell me about it.
I see he's wearing the red jersey. No pads. He picks up some gloves. He sprints off. Good form. High form that Michael Johnson back in the day, gold medal, gold shoes, TJ, 96
really
Olympics.
That, yeah.
He looks really good.
Pinching that walnut behind there. He's got good form.
Really good form. Tight cut. Does he still have the Movember mustache? It looks like he does. Like
also, I can't tell. I mean, looks like he might have one of those 70s style Ace bandages. It's kind of skin tone.
Yeah, there's something on there.
Yes, you're right.
It's hard to really tell.
The tweet
he could have
no
a farmer's tan,
yeah,
Tom.
The tweet
I don't
said
know.
No brace there, but there is something.
TJ, I think you're right. He picked that up at Rite Aid in Buffalo. Downtown, and it's like an Ace bandage
that you keep with the steel safety
maybe
pin,
6 to 8 inches long.
I just want to know. There's the steel.
Yeah,
it is there.
Eagle Eye Jefferson.
There. Nice work.
Do you think that they try like they had to match up, like they compared it, like when you
skin tone?
You compare the colors like on the wall, you know, and you've got different ones. Yeah. Like what's gonna be the closest to his skin tone here?
Match the paint.
To make everybody study it. I really want to know, TJ, where was he going?
Oh, you know where he's going.
End of practice. No, but he jumps up. Well, look, he shot out of a cannon.
He was obviously nervous, and when you get nervous, your mouth gets dry. So when your mouth gets dry, you hydrate. You tend to overhydrate. Yeah, now, the way that man was running, it was clear. May have had to water and fertilize something. That's why he had to.
We're going to go back to that still, though. Josh Allen is a giant compared to Case Keenum.
Case Keenum's like my height.
He's not a little dude, bro. He's six foot nothing.
Oh, man, 100 and nothing?
Yeah, he's... Case Keenum, I mean,
barely comes up to his shoulder.
Yeah, there's definitely a wrap there.
I mean, Josh has got to be 6'5", right? 6'4"?
Yeah, he's 6'5".
Somewhere around there. And then and Case is 6 foot flat. Case Keenum has a lot of things going for him. He's got guts. He's got moxie. He's got toughness. He's smart.
Height is
Height, not so much, which is how you can be as prolific as he was in college and then not get drafted and spend your career. He's on like his seventh team, I think.
I was just going to say.
Top of my head. Test me on this. Texans. Know that one.
He's still the all-time leading passer in NCAA history.
He was on the Rams, I believe, in both places, both LA and St. Louis.
I know that.
He was on the Vikings. He was on the Broncos. He was on the Browns.
Yep.
Now the Bills. Am I missing one, or is that everybody?
One. He was on the football team between Denver and Cleveland.
When was he there?
2019. He started 8 games.
He started 8 games for the Commanders? Or whatever they were called at that time?
I think they were still the...
In 2019, they might have still been the Redskins.
I somehow have blocked that out completely from my
brain.
1-7,
so he probably blocked it out as well.
Well, you know why? Because it was 2019, and anything that happened in 2019 quickly got forgotten once 2020 hit.
The before times?
Yeah, so it's understandable if you don't remember.
He's only started 2 games in the last 3 years. Went 2-0 for Cleveland in 21.
And he got traded in the same sequence where the Browns, they'd obviously acquired Deshaun Watson. Then they were signing Jacoby Brissett and worked out a trade that had to stay quiet for several days. I ended up breaking that on like a random Saturday afternoon that the Browns had traded Case Keenum to the Bills, which seems like a thing. Pretty big name.
What were you doing that Saturday afternoon?
That's a great question. That one was not, no offense to Case Keenum, that was not a big enough break that I remember the specifically what I was doing. I'm pretty sure I was in my office like I always am, at home in the basement waiting to go on home cam and talk about whatever exactly was going on. Also, another injury update, Matthew Stafford, questionable, according to Sean McVay. Questionable means something different in the concussion protocol. Like, that's a very specific thing. So he's not yet been cleared. He's doing some level of activity. This means he has a chance to get back for Sunday, but everything would have to get, every box would have to get checked, and then he's going to be cleared, you would think, prior to, you know, Sunday morning. I can't remember the exact timeline on it, but really the next 24 hours are going to be crucial for Matt Stafford. If not, it is going to be his backup, John Wolford, getting a start against quite possibly
Colt McCoy
from the Cardinals. So, that's your state of the NFL at this moment. We got some more to get to here, some additional injury updates. Also, Rich Eisen is going to join the show, we think. What time is it in Germany? Did we determine this?
It's 9 hours ahead, so it's almost 8:40.
Okay, so he's probably going to be at another Dine and Dash dinner with Michael Irvin. Hopefully not. He was drinking wine when we talked to him the other day.
Irv put a video on his story that night of him, Rich sharing his schnitzel with him. It was pretty amazing.
Right.
And I was like, this is minutes before Mike said, I'm out.
We've also got some sneaky good games.
Yeah, buddy, we're on
to get
fire.
To.
We're on fire, Tom.
Before this show is up. So let's take a quick break here. Rich himself can review the job I'm doing and talk about a lot more important stuff from Germany after this. Tom Pelissero in for Rich Eisen, my final segment after a fun few days. And what better way to celebrate this glorious run and
a drink?
One I've enjoyed greatly.
Oh.
Than to have Rich himself, well, a drink would be good too. Rich himself, who maybe has had a drink, from Munich, Germany right now. Rich, I believe you saw the Buccaneers today. Where are we speaking to you from?
I did. The Bucs were working out at the Academy for Bayern Munich. It's unbelievable. It's a sprawling complex that's just for, it's like an IMG Academy, but just for Bayern Munich. It's kids who, you know, are as young as, I guess, from what I was told, 8 years old, who train there. And, you know, and if it all works out, they wind up playing for the big boy club, which is where Seattle's working out this week. I mean, it was wild. And, you know, Bucks came in today and went straight to the practice field, and then some of them are going out to dinner and enjoying the sights downtown before hitting a curfew and then starting all over again. And we got a game in 2 days. People are lit. People are fired up here.
Rich, nobody cares. Really. Did you hug Tom Brady for me?
I did not. I did not hug
Come
him.
Come on,
I
man.
I hugged him for myself, so back off.
Jeez.
Back off.
You got secondhand hug.
I thought we were friends. You know?
I'm just
happy, Rich,
great,
that
man.
I'm happy you found time to go see the Buccaneers amidst all the food photos that we've been watching from you in your Instagram story for days now.
Some more to come, so
I mean, they don't have
too bad.
I will say, when you hung up the ice cream spaghetti, looked really good. Looked really good,
dude. I wasn't kidding.
It looked really good.
It was like, wow,
that looks amazing.
Yeah, I know. Like, it was real ice cream that made it look like it was pasta, and they poured red sauce. It was strawberry sauce with strawberries, and then they shaved what looked like cheese on top, but it really was, you know, chocolate. It was white chocolate.
Wow.
Ridiculous. And then last night we went to the Hofbräuhaus, and both Mariucci and Joe Thomas showed up in lederhosen and shorts. Peter King, who I saw earlier in the day, said, let's have a beer. I'm like, you come by. He came by. You've never lived life until you watch Peter King buy a pretzel. That happened last night. You know, so it was wild. It was just a wild evening. Last night, it's just surprising. Like, everyone's just tapping out and having room service tonight. The whole network is wiped out from last night.
That's
everybody.
Really good, man.
That's every carb is right in that photo that we're looking at right now. A pretzel and a bunch of beers here, Rich. Also, I noticed on your way out of the Hofbräuhaus, you got duped yesterday. A fake Woj.
You know, I don't drink, dude. I never drink beer, like, ever, and I had two Monster Steins, and
wow.
I went on Twitter.
Rich, I tried to warn you about that. Last thing I said to you.
If I'd only gone to Hofbräuhaus tonight, you know, the blue check marks being given away to anybody with $8, that program's already over. So that actually happened in the last 2 hours. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh, no.
So, I wouldn't have been duped, but no, I did, you know.
At your follow-up tweet. So the initial tweet from a fake Woj account was the Brooklyn Nets. It was a good fake. I will say that in terms of the language of the Brooklyn Nets are releasing Kyrie Irving. You quote tweeted with, wow. That stayed for, I want to say, 30, 40 minutes or so. And then the follow-up that we're looking at here is, the new Twitter sucks. Should know better to tweet leaving the Hofbräuhaus in Munich.
True story. At least I owned it.
I do appreciate it.
And by the way, the person who informed me that I was duped was Jake Tapper texting me.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
Like, he's got nothing else going on.
I know.
He's just waiting for some ballots to trickle in.
That's all.
And he's waiting for some ballots to come in.
Like,
so
who's?
Life is wild.
So you are calling the Seahawks-Bucks game Sunday morning, bright and early here, afternoon there, mm-hmm. on NFL Network with the rest of the Game Day Morning crew. It'll be Mooch and Irv, Kurt, yourself. What's in store for you the next, I guess it's less than 48 hours here in Munich, and what are you looking forward to seeing in the game?
Oh, no.
Well,
is any time minutes are gone?
For a four-man booth until apparently somebody forgot to tell, you know, the folks who are putting everything together here that the assistant coaches need a space. So what they're doing is creating space from our 17 feet on either side for the coaches. So I'll have the coaches of each team on either side. And apparently me, Mooch, Kurt, and Irv will be shoulder to shoulder. We're going to try that one out tomorrow. So we're going to the stadium to just try it on for a meeting. And then the game Sunday. And like I said, I mean, I just met a family from Angola that are big Buccaneer fans. This is as close as the team is ever going to get to Angola, so they flew in for this. Mooch got stopped on the street by a German-speaking person who rooted for the Falcons. Years ago, they found a YouTube video on the Falcons and saw that they didn't win a lot, so they wanted to join a team that they could never be accused of bandwagon hopping. We've met that person. Honestly, it's crazy. And I have a feeling this is the first of many, many games in Germany. It's going to be great. I'm fired up. And both teams are here, and you know, I met with the Seahawks yesterday, and they were like kids. They were like 10-year-olds, from their coach to everyone else. They had like big booming music. They were partying, having a good time while, you know, doing their had their practice. Pete Carroll had saw Irv and Kurt on the side, and he had them impromptu break the team down. I think the Seahawks tweeted that video out. They went they went bowling to celebrate Drew Locke's birthday. And the Bucks are a little bit more buttoned up. But they're, you know, they think the last 44 seconds of their game against the Rams could turn their season. So they're coming in feeling good about themselves for the first time in a while.
I believe, Rich, before we let you go, we do have one other photo of you from Munich that we wanted to bring up. Wow, we're looking at now. This might be a Photoshop, Rich, but it appears to be you prancing in a field wearing lederhosen, but your normal dress shirt, which I think is a nice look.
That's not happening. I don't know where that's from. That's probably another fake Woj account.
Sound of Isaac.
The hills are alive.
It's an outtake for Sound of Music for sure.
Yeah. Definitely not it. Smith special. What I did today.
I'm just going to text you that picture right now, Rich.
Smith special. I'd like to see that
good. I just texted it to you.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Very good.
Beautiful I miss you guys. Hey, Tom, thanks for doing the show. I've heard nothing but great things. Tremendous feedback.
Thank you.
Hope you've enjoyed it. And hopefully, first of many times, you're up for doing it.
It's been an unbelievable experience, man. So I really, really appreciate the opportunity. Stay stay safe. Have whatever fun you got left in you over there the next couple of days.
Guten Abend.
Yeah, guten Abend to you.
Remember, Rich, it's Tom Brady and Geno Smith. Tom Brady, Geno Smith. Okay?
Uma Oprah. Oprah Uma.
Gotcha. We got you back.
What about it? Oh, I got it. Oh, for their names.
Right.
That's great.
Right.
That's really cute.
Geno Smith and Tom Brady.
No. Brady and Smith.
Brady and Smith.
For me
got
to
it.
Not juxtapose. Thank
okay.
you. Yeah.
Got it.
Yes.
Oprah Uma.
The best thing is I'm finally going to get that taste out of my mouth, man. It's only been sitting there in my craw for 3 years, so that's going to be done as of Sunday. Enjoy, guys.
All right, buddy. Have fun.
Thank you.
Right.
That is.
Okay, bye.
Rich Eisen, who will be back on the show Tuesday. Is that
Tuesday,
right?
Yeah.
Tuesday. Kirk Morrison.
Kirk Morrison, my buddy.
Yeah, filling in on
my
Monday.
Guy.
Filling in on Monday.
Brockman, you want to tell Tom about what that comment to Rich was? Because I'm not, in case he doesn't know.
Last time Rich did a game, it was Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson, and he kept calling Watson, Winston, and Winston, Watson.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. It's hard to forget. I'm sure he hasn't.
Yeah. Well, definitely not now. He hasn't.
We got some sneaky good games.
Let's do it real quick. Sneaky good games.
Here's Chris Brockman with sneaky good games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
You know we had Brokaw on the payroll, did you, Tom?
Yeah, you didn't know that, Tom. That's the kind of juice that we have.
Very nice.
I'm not sure you condone this type of behavior, Tom, but we encourage it. I am on fire, people. 3-0-1 last week. That's 10-0-1. No, 10-1-1 in the last three weeks? Oh, my God. I'm on fire. Hey, Rich just reinforced my Bucks pick right now. That's all business for the Bucks over there in Germany. No way, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's on fire, people. The 44 seconds, you saw it. Give me the Bucks over the Seahawks. They turn into a pumpkin just a little bit. A lot of scoring in Chicago. No defense in that game. Over 48.5. I like the Dolphins to keep rolling at home against the Browns. And TJ, I love the Cowboys this week. I also love the under. Green Bay stinks. Dallas defense coming off a bye. It's going to be cold. Under 44 in Green Bay. Let's go.
The under is Green Bay's only chance. They have to turn into a slog of a game. Can't see them putting up 30-plus and win it, shootout there. I'm surprised by your over on the, what was the Lions over
Lions,
under?
Lions, Chicago, over 48.5.
I don't know if I'm betting on that.
The Bears scored 32 last week.
I'm aware. It just has the feel of a game that's not going to be a total and complete track meet here. Could be wrong. DeAndre Swift is mad that he hasn't been getting enough work.
Man, and needs some more touches.
Wants to get some more touches.
Justin Fields on the leash, Tom.
He has legitimately looked like a different quarterback since the bye. Yeah. And Luke Getsy's done a really good job just incorporating more of the stuff that he does best. And the Bears team that, you know, much like the Panthers we talked about earlier with Steve Wilks, I mean, the Bears are fighting. Everything is saying, no bother, pack it in. But like they are playing hard. You can see glimpses of it at the quarterback. That's why they went out and traded for Chase Claypool, just to give Fields a chance here. Defensively, they traded away maybe their two best players, but they're still playing hard at this point. I mean, that's got to be a psychological nightmare for players, just in terms of like, yeah, no, we're giving away, but we're still gonna play hard.
And right.
Those coaches have done a pretty good job to this point. Been a fun show.
Hey,
been
great
a fun
job, few days Tom. Here. Great job. Appreciate you coming in, man.
Great hanging with you, man.
No, thanks for you guys for having me. Thanks for showing up. Other than Del Tufo, who disappeared after a couple of days.
Well, he does that to Rich, too. Yeah, don't take it personally.
That's a good point. So thanks to Christian Fulton for coming on. Thanks to Jim Mahoney, my guy. Go see Bar Fight in theaters and online right now. Thank you to Willie Fritz for coming on the show as well. Cliff Averill. Rich back on Tuesday. Kirk Morrison in on Monday on the Rich Eisen Show.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.